This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gal Media Station.
KFNC on Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. That's right, it's Thursday right here on ESPN 97.5. Much to Lance's dismay, it's Thursday. You honestly, you're in the middle of so much draft stuff. You're watching player after player after player.
That wasn't a joke or plan. I wasn't clowning you. I really thought today was Wednesday.
And he goes, yeah, because we're going to be at Prime in a couple days. No, we're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, my God, that sucks. I'm way behind on my guys now.
Well, no, I lost a day. In my head, this morning, I'm like, okay, I got this many days to get to this number. I made a huge screw up this year. Last year, the last several years, I've had to write the East-West Shrine guys early, which is a tremendous amount of work. I'm having to do, basically, by this time last year, I looked at an old text message. Somebody sent me an old text, like, how far along are you? And the last time he texted that was last year, and I said 296 players. This year, and that was like January 23rd. Today is, what's today?
31st?
Yeah. And I'm at
last day of the month?
Yeah, and I'm at 237. And I'm like, oh, no. Because I didn't have to write East-West. Because some of those guys are slappies. Like, they want to get to the combine. And so now, I'm so far behind relative to last year. Mm. I'm like, oh, man. I can't afford to, even in my mind, lose a day. I just lost a day in my mind.
God.
Thanks to you.
No, it's actually Thursday. He was like, no, it's not. No, yes, it's Thursday.
I really thought for sure
today
this
is really Thursday. And today you really, really have to start working again. You're going to be able to get done so you can play poker tomorrow?
Well, I'm playing poker. I mean, people paid me off last time. I'm going to keep getting paid to do that too.
What?
So they'll pay me off again.
Who paid you off?
People at the tournament.
Well, I know you did. You got paid.
I made 440, but I mean, it was good.
Out of 139 players, that's pretty damn good.
No, that's good. That's good.
Top 20.
I was so tired. I pushed. Del, do you have any poker music where you can get some poker talk going today? We're the best show in the... I guess it wasn't the show. We're the best station.
No, it said...
Press.
Well, I want
it's
Del to
best
read
radio
it.
Station.
Here, Del, I really... Del... No, it said best radio station.
Yeah.
But yesterday...
97.5 officially became the best station. I don't know if it was in Houston or the country yesterday.
It was in Houston. Best of Houston.
But we haven't had Best in the Country come out yet.
Well, yeah, Best in the Country, we finished in the top 20, remember?
As a station.
Oh, not as a station. Yeah. Not as a station. We're probably number one as a station.
That's what I'm thinking.
But here's the deal is yesterday, man, it was very nice. Very nice of the Houston Press named us Best Station.
It wasn't nice. It was just accurate.
Well, okay.
Yeah. You don't congratulate people for being right on things. Right. It wasn't nice. They just were right.
I want, Del, I need you to read this for us, okay? Okay.
You want the whole thing? It's not very long.
There's a certain part in this article that I need you to read, okay? Let's go. It says, okay.
What do you want, after some rough patches? You want me to start there?
After some rough patches, yeah.
Okay. After some rough patches, Gal has built, that would be David Gal, has built a media, mini media empire in Houston that includes ESPN 975, a station that not only has content from the biggest sports network on the planet, but has some of the most talented personalities in the city, including guys like, this is a stretch, like Lance Zierlein and John Granato. Mm-hmm. Still the best pairing of morning sports talk radio hosts in the city. Someone's tickling the undercarriage.
In the city's what?
In the city's history. In the,
what, Del?
I'm sorry, my ear.
Can you say that again, in that the sentence?
City's,
forget the rest of the story.
No, there's more.
No, that's all.
No, in the city's history. And Raheel Ramzanali and Del Olole, who managed to stick out the myriad number of changes at the various Gal stations over the years. Let's just be clear. I was one of those changes at one point.
You,
yeah.
You know what Del is right now? You know what that article should have said? Del Olole, survivor.
Del Olole.
You want to know who
was real? Brett Favre won't go away. He just keeps coming back.
Oh, you look at it like that.
No, I'm not a survivor because at one point I got kicked off the island.
You did get kicked off the island, but...
You know who a real survivor is? Nick Shirarara.
Why is he?
Because he's been here since I was here the first time, and has stayed here continuously. He is a trooper and a survivor.
First time?
Oh, you don't know that story?
Well, yeah, I know the story. Yeah, but so he wasn't here when I was here.
He was here when I left the first time.
Yeah, okay.
Left, shoved out the door, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
Fired. Beat it.
Get
that
out
was
of here.
Actually a while beat back
it.
Too.
Yeah, it was a while.
2013. 2012, I don't remember.
I found out early.
I just want you to read.
I went to bat for Dell at the other station. I found out, I've got no sway here. Mm. I was like, hey, guys, I think I got somebody. I thought it was going to be easy. I got somebody, guys. He's right there.
Oh.
And I think they interviewed you.
They might have brought, I think they brought me in.
And then they came away and they said, well, he is. And they looked
very
at me.
Very unimpressive.
And as they walked out, Ramon just goes, cranky.
Cranky? Nope.
Yeah.
Well,
he didn't say it, but he had a look in his eyes.
Whatever.
Like that.
It's his attitude.
Whatever.
Del, I just want you to read that over and over again.
I will read it one more time.
Still the best pairing. Keep going. Go ahead.
Don't read the part about you.
No.
No, just and stop just it right there after the word history. Stop. Yeah.
Allow me to read the best part. And Raheel Ramzanali.
No,
and
not
Del
that
Olole.
Part. That's not it.
Okay, let's go back. Let's see. Including guys like Lance Zierlein and John Granato. Still the best pairing of morning sports talk hosts in the city's history. In parentheses, it says...
America.
In parentheses, it says, well, it's like winning a little person contest.
It doesn't say anything. Don't listen to him now.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I talented, Raheel says? No, I'm resilient. Yeah, pretty much. You've been able to stick through it through thin and thin, you've been able to stick through it, Raheel. Congratulations. Anyway, yeah, that was awfully nice of the Houston Press.
Will there be a sternly worded email to the writer for leaving out some names?
I'm pretty sure this is going to be like, well, it's going to be like old times where, you know what? Guess who's going to catch it now? Because somebody wasn't mentioned. Okay, guess who's going to catch it, Del and Raheel?
Why would we catch it?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
They only credited us with hanging around. They didn't call us good.
No, that's true. You are just hanging around. I guess. You were able to just
John makes it sound like a relationship gone poor. Like somebody has a bad day at work. Guess who's going to catch it at home now? Del and Raheel.
Are we going to get fresh ones?
You could get a fresh one. I'm pretty sure you could catch a fresh one here that nobody else was mentioned in this thing.
Look,
I will send a stern lead, and I'll say, what about my other show?
Can you go on that show now? considering yeah, you were
off. No, I'm not off the show. 12 to 13 months, number one. Yeah, no, I'm not off the show. I'm on the show. Still on the show and still.
I'm pretty sure you're off.
I don't like the picture Dustin uses, but I am on the show and I'm going to have.
Not after this.
Well, talk to Tyler. Talk to the new and improved Tyler.
Yeah. He's got a new job, new him.
Did you see him?
It's terrible.
I mean, for those of you who don't know, we're talking about Tyler, the producer, Tyler Scott, and he had his beard. He literally looked like
Burley Keuchel.
He looked like the guy from Ozark in the hotel room.
Yeah, in the hotel room.
He doesn't look like him.
He looked just like him.
No,
he did.
He looked like a guy, maybe 15 years younger, a version of him.
Yeah, he looked just like him.
I think he looks like Burley Keuchel.
He looked like he was in that motel room doing stuff.
I think he looks like Keuchel who does I don't want to say bench presses because Keuchel probably lifts. Although Keuchel's much thinner than you think.
Oh, no, Keuchel is stronger than you think.
Yeah, probably so.
He really is.
But he is a thin guy. Like, he's much thinner.
And he loves
than
his guns.
Think.
I know. It's always cut off.
Well, and he got his sleeve, so he wants to show his sleeve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He likes the right sleeve, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to show you what, would you see my ink? Yeah. No, what'd you get, Tyler? Tell me the story of your ink. You know what tattoo guys like? Me, whenever I talk about barbecuing on my Memphis grill. It's like, what is that? What's your ink? Do you know what my ink? I want to show you my ink.
What
this
I love
is my story.
Kobos Q, who does it professionally, came in here and Lance was explaining how to make a brisket.
I asked how he did his pork belly.
The guy who handles all of like Houston's Sawgrass stuff, the guy who's like the chef for all Sawgrass in Houston. He explained how he does his stuff on his Traeger. That guy too in the middle.
What do you do?
And I said, he didn't. No, he didn't.
No one asked. He did not. Ask you.
You don't know. You weren't there, John.
I was right there.
No, you didn't go to our quarterly meals whatever it was.
You weren't there that time.
I'm sad that ended.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I am sad.
Come on, Landry. Back up.
But back to Tyler Scott.
That's the guy. Tillman, talk
Tyler
to the guy.
Tyler Scott, he shaved. He cut his hair. He looks like, who's he look like?
When people who have beards shave, like, you can not like a beard. I thought his beard was fine, but you can not like a beard or facial. But then when people change, it's always like, I just don't deal well with change. That's when you find out that you can't handle change well.
Yeah.
Like, my wife, she struggles with any change. That's just who she is.
Adding kids to the family?
We've been done with that for a little while.
Well, even still.
But she doesn't look at them as change.
That changes a lot.
But change
it changes
for her,
financially. It changes your attitude.
This?
It changes your sleep. It changes everything.
I think not internal change. She doesn't like things like, you're not going to be able to work out now at 5:30 in the morning. No.
Nope.
Yes, I am.
No.
Like, oh, you're done working out. You're homeschooling now. Well, then I'll wake up at 4:00 and go run. I'm getting this in. I'm getting that in.
Well, that's just her problem. That sounds like a her problem.
Hey, let's do this. Let's move this picture from here over here.
My wife changes every day. I swear to God, I came home.
We haven't changed our
furniture.
There's like
20 new things in my house today.
Do you know in all of our furniture in our rooms, we have stayed the same. Like sometimes people will like reconfigure.
You don't know how blessed that is.
Reconfigure.
You have no idea.
Oh, no, I do.
I do. I swear to God, today in my house, there are 20 new things from yesterday.
Well,
not even joking.
That's just a purchase problem.
Well, yes.
Yeah. That's been around. But I'm talking about just reconfiguring and just busybody stuff.
Every day. Look at who's here, Milo. He's dead.
Well, let's see what he has to say.
Well, I thought he was dead.
Well, I don't know if this is that Milo.
Yeah, it probably is. Milo on a mobile. Hello, Milo.
Good evening, good morning, hello.
Hello, Milo.
Sinus problem. You know, when you were talking about you being the best station, I couldn't help but think of some stalwarts of the radio community, and Martini and Edmonds and Kenny Hand, and what about Ed Fowler.
You're right.
Time's gone by. Milo.
You're absolutely right, Milo.
Speaking of spending money, if you're walking around with a trophy, the trophy requires a lot of other things around it.
Like what?
Well, you got a trophy wife there, Granato.
Oh,
I
a lot of money.
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that coming.
She makes money, though.
She makes big money.
Yeah.
She makes. She's the money maker.
You both of you kicked your coverage.
Yeah, there's no question. No question.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, Milo. Milo,
how about a nice long this morning. Whoa. You ready?
Milo, congratulations.
Oh, he's still going. Just leave him alone.
Milo, congratulations on being in the Astros Hall of Fame.
You're going to have to paint it. Give me an orange coat. I'll wear it all day long. A captain's chair with an orange coat hanging off of it.
None of this is acceptable. None of this is. Between John and Milo, none of this is acceptable. Dell, I don't know how this
Why is this unacceptable?
Milo's not here anymore.
He's still with us.
And you just entire conversation about Milo and his orange coat now.
Don't want to hear from beyond the grave from Milo?
Yeah. No, he's still with us.
Yeah.
He's right there.
Leave him alone. How about there was a guy at the other station named Daryl who did easily. His Milo was maybe the greatest imitation I've ever heard in my entire life of anybody doing an imitation of somebody else. And I said, you got to come on the air and do it. He goes, no.
Oh, hell
no. I've got to see Milo. I can't. And then after Milo passed away, I'm like,
what now?
He didn't work there anymore. And I remember reaching out and like, now you can't. He goes, I just still worried.
What about you seeing Milo in the hall? And he turned.
Oh, Milo. Del. So Milo doesn't like me because of Spanish Milo, John's iteration. And for Milo, that just means I probably did it. And Milo used to, when we first started radio, I said somebody, and this is, okay, so back in the day, I said somebody was pissed off, and that was like a big deal on radio. He'd call in to Rusty, tell those guys not to say pissed off. Mm. You're not supposed to use that language. And Milo would correct us about stuff we're doing on the show, like, tell him no one wants to hear about college basketball, which I might have been right at that.
Yeah, he's right. He played. By the way, Dickie Thon did play second base twice.
Yeah, he would just call into the producer. And the producer would go, and this producer was the least John Lance producer of all time. Like,
Milo says that you guys shouldn't be saying these things, and you need to stick to sports, and you also need to acknowledge that Dickie Thon in a doubleheader played second base against the Red Sox.
What's wrong with that kid? You know what you're supposed to do. Yeah, I'll pass that along. And
no,
you never pass it along.
Rusty.
That kid, Rusty was in his 60s.
He had a dog named Pumpkin, and he used to walk the neighborhood looking for infractions for
in
the
HOA.
In a way,
he was like Dell. Look at this wall someone's building. They're going to be in trouble.
You think I'm an HOA snitch? Yeah.
I feel like I might be an HOA snitch.
No chance.
And then you missed the best part. You know, Wednesdays, do you remember what Wednesdays was? Brothers Pizza at West Oaks Mall. Rusty would go to the mall, park, and he would walk the mall eating his brother's pizza from West Oaks because Wednesdays were pizza day.
Think Rusty's still alive?
No, Rusty's not alive. I know that for a fact.
Oh, he's not? Did you go to Pumpkin's funeral?
I didn't.
You didn't go to
Pumpkin's? Probably get a phone call from somebody who's like Rusty, too. But yeah, Milo, basically, I saw him and Milo goes, it's like we stopped and we were looking at each other in the hall and Milo turned. Literally had been walking down the hall. There's no doubt. It's just a hall. And he stopped. We're about probably 40 feet from each other. And from down the hall, he looks at me. And he turns around and starts to just walk back down the other way. And I'm like, I felt like that was intentional.
Yeah,
I didn't know that there was beef with us. And then I found out we were supposed to do some segment with Milo. And Brian Erickson goes, yeah, Milo won't do anything with you. He said, as long as you're on the radio, he will never come on and do anything with you.
All right, let's catch up. 713-780-3776.
Good.
Great. Oh, bummer.
Great.
Oh, bummer. Milo won't be on because that was always entertaining. Time for you.
A little more respectful for you.
That was a little disrespectful. A little bit.
You know what else disrespectful? When your testosterone's low and somebody makes a comment.
No, it's low.
You've really let yourself go, and you're like, whoa, you're a little out of line yourself there. You're a little out of order. Maybe it's because maybe you are working out still, or maybe you just don't have the energy to work out. The one thing, there's a lot of
benefits from your testosterone level being where it needs to be. And here's one of the reasons. I think one of the reasons, well, I don't think this. This is the data. This is the information that's real. It adds to your mental acuity. It helps with your memory. It helps with your processing. So that mental area right there, the clear the fog, that's a big part of it. But do you know it also is so big in terms of just giving you your drive back? And that means your drive anywhere, your libido, your drive at work, your desire and your drive to go get a better, longer, more substantial workout in, even your drive to just live life. It does lift the fog. And I had the fog. I know exactly what it is and what it means. I just didn't know what it was. You might be having that same issue right now. Once you get that cleared up, it is a huge, huge game changer, because you will find that life really, really changes for you when you get back to being the way it used to be when you're in your 20s and 30s. Body type changes, you're mentally sharpen up, and maybe most importantly, you get that drive and that energy back. Go to mensteclinic.com, find one of the four locations nearest you, and feel free to stop in and go get tested. It takes minutes to get results, and you could be back on the way, back on the road, I should say, to being the real you. Live your best life with mensteclinic.com.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Man, so many things to talk about this morning. We got to get on Roger Goodell and point out all the lies that he told yesterday. We'll do that.
When are you doing that?
You want us to do that at 9:30?
That'd be great.
All of his...
Or you can do it earlier, and I'll just take some time off.
No.
Take a personal day.
Did you see Lincoln Riley's new deal?
What did he end up getting? Six?
On top of the $6 million per year,
yeah,
he will receive an annual $700,000 stay bonus for every year he remains with the Sooners. He gets a $700,000 raise every year for just staying there.
Well, then that's...
In addition to $150,000 in annual bumps, he gets $850,000 a year bonuses. That's...
Man, desperation.
Well, is that the new way to keep... Now, and we've seen this. See, and we were talking about this yesterday. Stoops was in town this weekend. He came for the Gridiron event, Wallace Marsh. And, of course, Stoops was here. It's Oklahoma deal. It's Wallace Marsh, so he honored Bob Stoops. Anyway, Stoops leaving opened the door for Lincoln Riley to step up. Hugh Jackson leaving, Freddie Kitchens. Offensive coordinators that you want to keep now, you've got to move them up to head coach. Otherwise, the next head coaching job that opens up, they're going to go there. And if you really like that guy, coordinators are because that's if you've got a really good coordinator and you're a head coach, that was why Clay Helton with Cliff Kingsbury sitting there. If Cliff Kingsbury had all kinds of success and then Cliff Kingsbury at USC and then Cliff Kingsbury goes, well, looks like Washington wants me. Oh, whoa. The reason that we're successful here, Clay, you're out of here. The new thing is going to be for head coaches to be, when you have a lot of success on one side of the ball, that coordinator is going to take your job, is going to move up because you can't afford to lose that guy. Well, that's what happened here with Lincoln Riley. He moves up, and Bob Stoops stepped aside at a perfect time.
Yeah, but it was time for Bob. Like, he could have, but I don't think that Bob Stoops wanted to coach forever.
No. Well, his dad, that whole thing, he had his heart attack right around the same age that Bob was.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make sure that he was healthy enough for his family and all of those things. But he still, you don't see coaches that are, Bob Stoops could stay there forever.
Yeah.
Bob Stoops didn't have to go anywhere.
Bob Stoops could have stayed forever, but he walked out at a perfect time because they didn't have enough time. And right before the season started, right before the summer, he said, "I'm out of here. What are you guys going to do now?" Well, you got to promote Lincoln Riley. He kept his whole staff there. He did. He took one for everybody in that he let the whole staff stay. If he'd have done it in December, they would have had time to fill all the spots and get a whole new coaching staff. The way he did it, he said, no. I'm gonna give these guys their shot now. And Lincoln Riley has taken huge advantage of it. But my goodness, $850,000 a year raise every year guaranteed, no matter what you do?
It's just not great. It's just not good. And I mean, I'm consistent. I don't think I think you've got to be careful about if you're a player every time that somebody else makes, you know, you get your payday, but then when a new bar gets set, nope, time to redo it. I need a new. No, the contracts do matter. You know, contracts matter for less than anybody on the entire planet
is college football coaches. Yep.
There's nobody on the planet who has more power and more leverage than a college coach. They can, like, someone had three contracts in 4 years. He had three contracts in 4 years. That's just not great for the universities. Unless you are an unbelievable winner, you're going to end up being a loser as a university. Unless you win at an unbelievably high rate. And I just, you know, the $6 million is a ton. The $6 million is a ton at a public university. But the fact that their contracts are not binding. Now you have to. We got to put a buyout. Now we got to have a stay bonus. Now we got to have this and have that.
Stay bonus is going to be.
I mean, if he stays
there
is the new
transfer portal.
If
it's
he stays
going
there for
3 years,
huge. I mean, you're talking about being up in the $10 million. What happens if he stays there for 10 years? He'll be a $20 million.
Yeah.
That's outlandish. You think this is sustainable? This isn't sustainable.
No, you're going to have to get rid of him because you can't afford him anymore.
Yeah, it's not a sustainable model. None of this is. And I just, you know, at some point your contracts in college football and now these contracts are fully guaranteed that I know of. I had an agent tell me pay him more and make it fully guaranteed. Well, I think they are fully guaranteed. I've never heard. I know you can get bought out, and maybe he's saying fully guaranteed as in if you get fired, you can go to another job and you can keep making the same money that you're making. I don't. Maybe that's what he meant. I'm not sure. And if you're listening, text me and let me know because he represents coaches. But I just think, you know, I understand agents are going to want to make the most possible in this and that. But a contract for a player and for a coach it's one thing to renegotiate it, but it's another to hold universities hostage. And that's really what it is. And even if you don't do anything, Lincoln Riley might not be even doing anything. But his agent knows the deal. Oh. His agent can easily start to leak his name to different places and get him a new payday.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's, you know, Jimmy Sexton.
This is ridiculous, though. It's really ridiculous. Yeah.
He's already getting paid. If he's going to leave, he's going to leave. And I got news. He's not leaving to go to another college. If he leaves, he's going to the pros.
This is
going to
be the new thing. Stay bonus. Oh, my God.
I've never seen anybody more desperate than
agent is going to have to get this for their coach now.
Every university is the most desperate I've ever seen. Please don't leave us. I'll do anything you want.
Absolutely. That is the truth. All right, 727, catching up.
Do you want me to bring another university into the bedroom? Okay, I will.
No. What are you going to be, a cuck?
That's what it feels like.
A cuckold university?
No.
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 You're not going to watch.
Your current university
would
be.
Do you want us to add
The current university?
Do you want us to add some spice into our situation? We'll let you coach a basketball team, too.
No. That's being a...
No, it's three.
713-780-3776. A lot to talk about here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, Houston Press.
Please don't leave us, please. We'll give you a stay bonus.
Houston Press is top sports station right here.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We understand the frustration of the fans. I've talked to Coach Payton, the team, the players. we understand the frustration that they feel right now, and we certainly want to address that.
Okay, so there's two things. Ryan Clark ripped the commissioner yesterday, and he said, "What did we learn? We didn't learn anything." Okay, it's just a lot of blobbly, blobbly, blah, 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 and actually, there's absolutely no substance to it, which is, I think, 100% accurate. But the other question is that was posed this morning on the show coming in was, what do you want them to say? What exactly would you like them to say about
that's fair.
About this? I mean, because. Okay, we're going into penalties. I don't have any answer. I'm not making that decision unilaterally.
There's no
That's
going to
be a committee.
He blew the call. That's all
they
it
admitted.
Is.
Now, that he talked to Sean Payton and the players, I mean, maybe.
Honestly, unless you're a Saint fan, why do I care?
Yeah.
I don't care.
No,
if
I don't care, but don't lie. I mean, he does lie. Anyway.
I don't know about all that.
Well, there's that. When asked, here's one. At about 45:30, Dell, he's asked about Colin Kaepernick, and if you can pull that up, and that's one that I'm like, stop already, stop. Can we stop this? And that Colin Kaepernick, 45:30, that Colin Kaepernick is a topic of conversation. The dude that's been out of the league for years now. It's just, however, I mean, there is some reason for, you know, I guess the media to pursue this, in that it's a lie that you say that, you know, Colin Kaepernick is not playing because he's not good enough. Josh Johnson played. It's not even questionable. Josh Johnson is not as good as Colin Kaepernick. The question is are you ready to fight that battle? Is he worth it? That's the whole question. Is he worth it? And Roger Goodell won't admit that. What he said was, and we'll pull it up in a minute, is just a blatant lie that teams want to win and they'll get the best players. No, that's not true. It's just simply not true. I'm not fading Colin Kaepernick with my fan base. That's all there is to it. I don't want to polarize my entire fan base. That's the truth. Are you worth it? And the answer is Colin Kaepernick's just not worth it. And that's not collusion at all. Every owner is making that decision himself, saying there's no way I'm bringing Colin Kaepernick in. I don't want to fade all of that, all the crap that I'm going to get from both sides. I don't want to piss off half of my fan base. It's a product. It's a business, and you'd never want to lose half your fan base. That's the answer. But Roger Goodell continues to lie about this.
Have you ever noticed that people though want like. There are things you don't say. There are things you know that you can ask that people aren't going to answer. It doesn't make any. It wouldn't make any sense. Like, there's no need to change all the rules because Saints fans are upset that somebody screwed up a call. Calls have been screwed up forever. It happens, and it goes down in history as an iconic F up. That's what's going to happen. And I feel bad for the Saints fans. You're not going to restart the game, reset the game, nuclear option. None of that's going to happen. But this is always funny to me that people demand that you answer this or you admit this. Like they want, it's really nothing more than what do you want Commissioner Goodell to say now, 3 years after the Colin Kaepernick stuff? When a referee effed up a call, I don't know what there's nothing that he can address. And all it is a chance. If you do address those things, it's not, I can promise you, no matter what you say, you are going to get grilled by somebody. And then if you don't address it, or if you don't address enough, you're going to get grilled. That's a no-win situation. I don't think Commissioner, you know, in all honesty, I think he's handled a lot of different things, has not handled them well. The Saints thing, I don't. Honestly, it's not my team. I don't really care. Honestly, I don't. I feel bad for the Saints fans, though, and I feel bad for the Saints. In terms of his communication with Mike Thomas, I could give a flying flip what happens with Mike Thomas and Goodell, or if Alvin Kamara, or if Drew Brees gets a call from the commissioner or whatever. That's handled through your player rep and the team. There is a chain of command that you go through. Can he address it? What he should have said was, you know, I don't even know that a commissioner ever is supposed to say, when the NBA screws up, you know who says something? It's not Adam Silver who says that they screwed up calls. It's the league office. The league office, and I don't know if the baseball commissioner ever says we screwed that up. The commissioner's office doesn't come out and say we screwed that one up. I mean, now what Goodell could say is we've got to make sure that that doesn't happen again by making the right calls, not by changing all the rules to placate everybody.
Well, I do believe since it has happened so often and it was such an important call, it's not just one call. Mike Renfro, years. I mean, and they didn't change it, but.
Well, no, they added replay. They did change it in a way. They added replay.
They added replay. So they did react to something that was awfully important. Guess what? I think they're going to react here, too.
Well, they can react, but then not respond. You can react, but then decide, you know what? After we've considered everything, we think we would harm our game if we do this.
Or you could say, hey, in the last 2 minutes, we'll let one review each. But you're gonna, if not, you lose a not only a timeout, you'll get penalized if you f up a potential 50-yard
penalty. Well, just know this, but it's not gonna matter because then the fans will say a lot of these are gonna be bang bang calls. That was egregious, but there's gonna be we'll get into a whole nother argument. But I just think it opens a door to bang bang calls, and then a whole fan base saying, we feel robbed still. We just got penalized, and we lost our last time out and all that. And it was obviously a foul. How did you not? But it's going to – whatever the call is what everyone's going to – everyone's going to lean – and it should. Whatever the call on the field was, you have to have a preponderance of evidence, just like turnovers and other things
like
that.
Just like we keep on watching 1,000 times a day on ESPN.
No, they won't stop.
Nickell Roby.
Yeah, no, that was an obvious one.
Yeah.
But I don't think because you have one huge mega outlier that you're going to change the entire system.
I don't know that it's a mega outlier.
Name one other one that you remember that was that bad.
How about the Green Bay Seattle catch, no catch in the end zone? I mean, that ended the game. The pass in the corner of the end zone. That was the last play of the game.
No, but that was reviewed, wasn't it? I think that was reviewed, and they still screwed it up and cost me a bunch of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was reviewed.
Yeah, it was reviewed. There's nothing you can do about it. It was reviewed because they sat there forever, and I'm like, this is a catch. Was it a catch?
It was an interception.
I wanted an interception.
It was an interception.
This is an interception, but they reviewed it.
But there's plenty of calls at the end of games.
I don't see the ones where it's egregious, where it's that bad. It's one thing to have, look, you're going to miss calls throughout the game, a hold, a non-hold, all that stuff. I can't remember something that was that blatant.
How about the San Diego game where the ref got fired because he didn't call a false start?
Sounds like there was a serious. Yeah, but that's a non-call. You can't.
That's the question, is whether or not you can even make a non-call a call.
So you're going to stop a play after it happens, say, sorry, this should have been a false start.
Well, you get one in the last 2 minutes.
But why? Then you should do it anytime there's a twitch that somebody misses. Yeah. You got to call your penalty. Yeah. So we're going to have flags all over the place.
No, just one in the last 2 minutes. One in the last two minutes of a game.
But that was the Chargers in the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think it was. And because that's when it's so important. You don't have enough time to make up a horrific call.
The last 2 minutes is a consideration if you say, okay, it has a substantial impact on games, potentially. I just don't think they're going to overrule human error the same way they don't have Questech calling balls and strikes in the last inning of a game or anything like that. Because these are humans. Well, we're so straight to robots.
I get it. This is the same argument, though, against replay, which they got. But at the time when there was no replay, everybody was making the same, because then we're going to stop the game and blah, blah. And you know what? Replay has worked pretty well, except it's still too slow and methodical, and they need to really change that. But replay is a part of the game now. And there were so many arguments, just like you're making now, that said, well, no, we can't have replay. Human error is part of the game.
No. Fumbles and things like that.
Well, no, but there was none of that.
These are subjective.
And a bunch of people said, don't do that.
You're talking subjective calls. Holds, pass interferences. These are subjective, and they're fluid. They change from game to game. There is no set way of calling it, just like balls and strikes change from game to game. Now, I would argue that it's balls and strikes should not be changing game to game, but I understand, and same thing with basketball. Some guys are going to let it go. Guys, we're going to let you play a little bit today. I'm fine with that. You just get a read for how it goes. That's an outlier. That's an That is a call that looks like a point shaving call. I'm
gonna
so bad.
Yes. But I'm going to be consistent. I think that they should use Questech. I don't think the ump should call balls and strikes. It isn't subjective. There's a strike zone. There's a box.
No,
it's
humans.
From your knees until your chest.
Now,
and it's that wide, the width of the plate, and use our technology. I believe that they should use Questech.
I've already told you. I think so, too. And I think we should have holograms, and we could have celebrities come call balls and strikes through holograms. When they're really not, it's Questech calling balls and strikes. I've already told you, that's a gigantic moneymaker. A sponsorship.
Bradley Cooper is tonight's balls and strikes
easily,
caller?
Easily, yes. This is actually a phenomenal idea. And when Raheel heard it, he was like, this is great. And Raheel's a branding guy. Raheel knows branding and he knows marketing.
Raheel is the sounding board now for great ideas?
Yeah, when you weren't here,
oh, really?
Raheel basically elevated
Eric
Lady's career.
So everybody's
going
to have their hair in a tripod? Is that what we're going to do now?
Eric Layden's career took off after Raheel changed his Twitter avatar. My mind on money. He had a picture of Eric looking into the distance, and he put a bubble, like a thought bubble, and he put cash. He put money there. That meant my mind's on my money. And that changed everything.
And that changed his life?
Yeah, and then he gave him a hashtag. I don't know if you remember the hashtag, but there was some kind of hashtag. Yeah,
the hashtag was take a break, Dell says. Take a break right here on ESPN 97.5.
You want to thrive on something? Are you thriving with your life?
I do know this, that if I had
a few
Coors Lights last night, why don't I have that? Hmm? Oh, because I threw it out.
Yeah, because I handed it to you and you decided you didn't want it anymore.
Oh. Okay. Because it's paper. You know what? I like electronics.
So you want me to email you?
I want Questech ads.
You like an email? A Questech email for you?
I don't really want that. What I really want is to talk about Cheers, and a bunch of people have asked me, why is it Cheers now instead of Thrive Plus? I'm like, I don't know. What's the difference? It works. It's good. Who cares what they call it? They could call it No Hangover. I don't care. All I know is it's No Hangover. Well, you're going to feel 50% better, guaranteed, or you get your money back. That's how confident these guys are in their product, Cheers. Cheers is a product designed by scientists, doctors, Ivy League guys. I mean, they're smart. They know a lot more about the human body than we do. And there's all kinds of stuff that goes into it, and I'm not going to explain it because they think I'm really dumb when I try to explain it. So I'm not going to. All I know is that you will feel better the next day after you have some cocktails. Period, exclamation point, bing, 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 it's over. So if you're looking for a great way to have a few alcoholic beverages and not have that horrific hangover or even a little bit of a hangover the next day, you want to feel your best. It's called Cheers. Cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. You live in Houston? It'll be delivered tomorrow if you order by 4 o'clock today because they're in Houston. Cheershealth.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, we got some calls in here. People want to talk on the radio. 713-780-3776. The station that Houston Press calls the best sports station in this city.
And mentions you two specifically why it's the best.
No, why don't?
Because I guess you two are the best duo in morning sports radio history in the city.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The writer does mention a couple other names as being resilient and then mentions no one else at the station.
Well, I'm sorry.
Because there's a limited amount of space.
Yeah. My feelings aren't hurt because I was mentioned.
There's a limited amount of space.
You were
this
mentioned.
Isn't an article. It's just a quick mention.
I'm telling you. I think that was a bad thing for you. You're going to catch yours.
Catch it from who?
You're going to catch it.
Because some person.
You're going to get a fresh one.
Some bright, innovative, thought-provoking person decided to mention my name and now I'm in trouble?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not my fault. Okay. Maybe if the people
Hog
have an issue.
The spotlight.
Maybe if the people who have an issue stepped their game up, they would have got mentioned.
Mm. Well, if well, you see, have, now, they have now this you're, much you're space. Making it worse.
If you have no,
there was this much space. There's they probably said you have 140 words. That's it. 140 mm-hmm. words.
If you no
160 words.
It seemed like a bit more. If you have an issue, that's what I'm saying, John. Maybe you need to be better at what you do. If you have an issue. If you don't have an issue, then it's all good.
Well, all I know is you're going to catch one.
I'm not getting five across the eyes.
Backhand. Let's get Alex in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Alex?
Hey, I wanted to check the last Lance. He watches so much tedious film and of linemen and DBs. I'm under the impression that this is a pretty unsolvable problem in terms of the penalties, because just as a novice, it seems to me that if you actually called the rule book, you would throw there would be a penalty, some sort of holding or pass interference constantly. If I were a coach and you could challenge, I would just wait until a big play and I would throw a flag and say, hey, go check for holding. I mean, how specific would you have to
be? You'd have to be specific. You'd have to be specific. Okay. You can't just go, there's a hold. You'd have to say, this guy held or whatever. I mean, you can't. Or if it was a false start or whatever. You'd have to be more specific than that. There's a hold.
But do you think – so the main thing I'm getting at in this call is, do you think, Lance, as much as you watch film, that holding is a lot more common? Yes. If you were to actually call the rule book as it technically is laid out, that holding would be called a ton more frequently than it actually is?
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a hold would be called probably every other play.
Yeah, but if
you're watching tape, but that, I mean, the difference is
that's such an old and nothing against Alex, but just because you could call a hold every play, which is probably is incorrect, but just because that old axiom doesn't mean that you can't change something that needs to be changed. And if there is a blatant hold, guy around the neck and takes him down, and you go, what the, you know, how about a call there? But again, my thought is one challenge in the last 2 minutes, and you better make it good. You better make it good. And if you're wrong, you get penalized for it. If you're wrong, then the play stands. If it's a big play and you're trying to, you know. If you're defensively, you're trying to renege on that play, whatever I'm trying to say here.
Take it back.
Take it. If you're trying to take that play back and you're wrong, well, then the play stands and maybe a penalty on top of it or whatever. Here, you can do this. I mean, just because you can call a penalty on about every play doesn't mean that you can't make the game better. And you know what? I do. I believe that the Saints got screwed. And I know, well, they should have played defense. Well, they should have ran the ball. They should have done a lot of things. There should have been a call on Jared Goff's face mask. There should have been a call. If it's in the last 2 minutes and the Rams saw that, then you know what? The Rams can call that and say, look. And then you would have gotten that call, and the Rams might have scored a touchdown, and the game might have been totally different. The difference is, though, at the end of the game, there's not enough time to make up for bad calls. If you have a second quarter face mask that wasn't called, you got plenty of time to make up for that. But in the last 2 minutes, a referee should not decide the game by a bad call. That's my thought. Because you don't have enough time to make up for that.
But it is. You have to have one set of rules. You can't just have you can't have floating rules. Either referees are going to be able to mistakes. So either they can make mistakes in the first 57 minutes, but they can't make any mistakes in the last two. That's just not. And what mistakes are eligible for? Like, what mistakes are eligible to be reviewed? Because we're talking about officials, missed calls.
Well, my thought was just pass interference.
Well, can we look at pass interferences and say that this was not a pass interference?
And then we can extend it.
Can you say not a pass interference and it was called?
A call or a non-call.
What about a late hit to the quarterback, whether it was...
Well, that was another thing that happened in the Kansas City game.
You got to have... It can't just be pass interference. It has to be a myriad of calls are open.
Well, no. I think you start with a couple different ones, and then you add if you want. Maybe you don't even do holding, because holding is so subjective, and it is different for every ref. Maybe you don't do that. Do a false start or an offside... And pass interference.
What if hands to the face wasn't called? Because that's an automatic first down.
Right.
What if somebody goes hands to the face, five-yard first down?
If you want to just start with pass interference and then you want to add, because you can do that.
I know, but I'm saying we've got to look at all of these because that would also cost you a chance to win a game. If that just because it's one thing is, yeah, both of them are penalties that are automatic first downs. What about a chuck beyond 5 yards?
There's another. Well,
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
No.
These are all first downs.
No. You start with pass interference.
But the Saints would have won with any of those calls.
Oh,
yeah, they would have been automatic first downs.
Right, but this was blatant right in front of us. The pass interference.
But sometimes hands to the face is a blatant one that they miss.
But that doesn't change. But see, that didn't change the game though, because that guy had his hand in that guy's foot. Because he did that, didn't make Drew Brees incomplete. That wasn't why.
You're assuming the double play too. You're assuming the catch. Look,
I didn't assume the catch. I assumed he interfered with him. That's what I'm assuming.
But if he hadn't, you're assuming the catch.
No,
if
I'm
that's
not.
An incomplete pass,
no,
then
I'm
what?
Just no, no, I'm not. I'm all I'm assuming is that was pass interference and you missed it. That's all I'm assuming. That's all I'm assuming. You missed that call.
Right, but if it wasn't pass interference, what would have happened?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could have been an incomplete
but
pass.
But it was pass interference that they missed. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he would have caught it.
But what I'm saying is it's going to be a hands to the face that you missed too, and that would have been an automatic 5 yard. This guy's got is draped around him at the 8 yards behind this line of scrimmage, and it wasn't called. All of these. Now, to play devil's advocate, here's what I would say about that. You have a certain amount of time to make a call. It would be awfully hard, and this is to argue my own point, argue against me. How in the world, within 14 to 15 seconds, are you going to be able to look at an end zone angle or a sideline angle that shows you where there's another potential penalty? So that would be the argument I'd make against
myself.
No,
that's why I said it's got to be a specific call by the coach. This happened, not just go look at that play. There's a penalty somewhere. You can't say that.
Well, no, right. But even if you said there, you don't even have enough time to really find, well, anything that you think is glaring from the sideline. Oh, my God. You know, because the press box is a bunch of maniacs. The coaches are maniacs up there. And they could say, he was grabbed. Sean, challenge. He was grabbed on the other side. Is that called?
Well, again, just do pass interference to start with. And then see how it goes. And see if you have to add. Just start with pass interference in the last 2 minutes. That's all I'm saying. And then you can add or you can subtract. That's all. Right. That's my thought, anyway. 758 ESPN 97.5. My thought here is also that you should make love.
Oh, that's the worst. This is the worst segue.
What are you talking about?
This is okay. From
and if you listen, no.
Disappointment, actually. An entire fan base is disappointed.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's and you know what? Your girl might be disappointed. Okay? So you want to. Okay, no, just don't take anything and just continue to disappoint. That's a smart move. That's great. That'll keep your relationship going. No. You know what'll help? Fourhymns.com/John5. Fourhymns.com/John5. Be better. Do better. She'll love you for it at fourhymns.com/John5. Fourhymns.com/John5 is a great way to get started. If you need ED medication, all you got to do is go to fourhymns.com/John5. You will talk to a doctor online right there. And the whole thing, first month, costs you $5. That's a ridiculously low price. And listen, if you don't have $5, then you got more problems. Don't worry about ED. Go find a job. Here's the deal. Fourhymns.com/John5. Get you started for just $5. It's the equivalent of the blue pill, just in a generic form. And oh my goodness, you're saving a boatload of money at fourhymns.com/John5.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.